Welcome to the Into the Void podcast with your host, Sammy Starr. Step into the void.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Into the Void podcast. This would be the sixth episode now. Kind of crazy how all of this is going. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on Podbean, whether it's on Spotify. I appreciate you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. It is on YouTube. It really helps me and also just helps the overall channel. I want to say that I appreciate everybody that's been tuning in so far. It's been a blast sharing all these bands with all you guys. So do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Alex Pasibe. I sing for a band called Osatia. I'm here on this podcast and I appreciate you for having me.
No, it's great to have you here. Honestly, this has been a long time coming because, believe it or not, I had wanted to do this for a long time with Osatia for, I want to say, over 2 years. And I'm a firm believer of what goes around comes around, and you know, we're here now.
It came around.
We're here now. I kind of love and I kind of hate this question, but you know, like, every band story is kind of different to how they started from the beginning and how they got to where they are now, right? With Osatia, how did you guys get started? And that's kind of going like back in time, basically.
Oh, we're time traveling now.
Yeah, we are time traveling right now because the scene was like a very different place back then. And I know there's a good story there to how that all kind of started and where we are at now.
Travel back to 2014 when I joined.
The glory days of the scene, right? The
glory days, you know, we're at the tail end of the crabcore. We're still in it, but you know, it was on the way out. We released a EP called Sky People. We recorded it with our friend Steven Riverman down in Longview. I believe that's Washington. We jammed that out. It was about 4 songs. That kind of got us started. Our good friend Zach from Ghost Killer Entertainment, he's been with us since 2014. We have a song called Atlantis, which it was remade into a newer version for this last album. That was one of our first songs. He shared it on Ghost Killer, you know, has always been kind of repping us on that page. We kind of grew with that. So that's 2014. Dang, how do we go from 2014 to 2022? Okay. We did take about a year break after that because I went to college in 2016-ish.
Studious Alex.
Oh yeah, I was studious. I went for cinematography. Yeah. And then I came back and we kind of hit it hard in 2018. So after school, came back, hit it real hard. That's when we started writing, you know, the All In Time release We Care in like 2019 or something. I'm probably messing up the dates, but around that time, We Care. And on Ghost Killer again, our video went viral on there. Overnight, it was weird. And that's kind of how that we like, you know, really got started. We got started years ago, but I feel like we got really started in 2018. And after that post on Ghost Killer, and that post led to us getting signed by a label. A few labels hit us up, and then we went with We Are Triumphant.
I remember that. That was a pretty big year for you guys, actually.
Yeah, it was a really big year. So yeah, we got signed by them and, you know, we've been kind of just trucking along since. I hope that answers your question.
No.
I'm so bad at actually answering questions. I kind of just tangent.
No, I know, like, we kind of have to cliff note a lot of that because it is going back like a lot of years. It doesn't feel like it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you kind of go through this, you know, when you go back to like the crabcore scene and you listen to like some of those albums and you're like, dang, was that really that long ago? I kind of go through like those moments like all the time.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that long.
I think this is kind of like the easier question for you. We're not diving into the history lesson of like how you guys got started. I know you guys kind of ride the post-hardcore kind of vehicle, but I feel like when you listen to a lot of your music, there's a lot that stretches more into that, right? What are your musical influences and what shaped your sound like as a band?
I'd say, yeah, definitely post-hardcore, but we have a lot of like, you know, pop punk influences that kind of just like merge in there. Makes it kind of like melodic pop punk sometimes. You know, sometimes it can be really soft, like acoustic and orchestral stuff. It's kind of all over the place, but it's driven by emotion for sure. Whatever conveys the emotions that, you know, lyrically, it's like, okay, we have like kind of a pop punk song that has like, you know, melodic stuff. I tend to like match the tone of my lyrics to the instrumental. So it's just, we ride that emotion wave, you know what I'm saying?
No, I definitely feel that in a lot of your, well, a lot of your singles and the records that you have come out with so far. I feel like there is somewhat of a genre bend between when you guys first came out into where you are now. And we're going to dive into that because I feel like the latest single that you guys have just bring to us recently, there is a different kind of a pull.
Oh yeah.
Genre wise, like I said, we are going to dive into that because it is interesting, but yet it's still keeping that emotional resonance lyrically. I think that's why a lot of people, including myself, resonate with you guys as a band, because you guys lyrically orchestrate just this real side of what people are going through, and you're not afraid to really show that. But there is this fun instrumental aspect to it that kind of calls back to like nostalgic post-hardcore, but then you're not afraid to play with like either pop punk or either metalcore aspects to your music as well, which I really do like and appreciate that. Before we talk about that single though, a very important record to talk about is All in Time, because I feel like it does kind of reflect a bit on the new single. I kind of listened to this single and then I went back to All in Time for a little bit because I feel like side by side, if you put this on that record, it would fit into it a little bit because of how emotionally resonant it does fit and kind of mold into the feelings of how that record plays out. What was the creative process like with All in Time, and how was it different from this single?
Well, I wouldn't say it's much different. I mean, I'd say lyrically it's about the same, because basically my lyrics, I tend to go through a lot of things mentally for one person. So basically I write about the things that I go through. But also at the same time, I'm writing about how I'm going to get out of that situation. I'm helping myself by being able to have an outlet for the emotions that I'm having, but me outletting that stuff also brings a solution around, which, you know, can be helpful to other people too, which is, that's kind of like what my goal is lyrically. But as for instrumentally and everything like that, I'd say the differences between like creatively is that, so All in Time, we pretty much self-recorded all of that ourselves, self-produced it. This time around with Take What You Need, we went into studio with Eric Ron. He's down in LA. We wrote with him for this song. It was more of a, you know, a studio work, like, cause like we went into the studio and we wrote the song. The other ones, we kind of had like years of like preparation for it because we did, you know, we're just passing demos back and forth between the members. I'd say it was a really like organic just flow of work in the studio. Like we just went in there, wrote the song, and then I wrote the lyrics, and then we just put it all together in the studio. So that was really fun. So that's the difference between the two.
I know you guys often are very candid about your experiences going back with All in Time. You're sharing your grief, you're sharing your sadness, kind of like the ups and downs in life. But also yeah. there's like this sharing these wins and, you know, the stark realities that we kind of share in life that we face kind of like on a daily basis. And then we kind of go into Take What You Need. And this is like why I feel like this is kind of like an extension of that, in the sense of where we're talking about love in relationships, right? Being with somebody that can only, again, I'm going to kind of bite off the title, give what they need in the tank, basically. And you're yep. still able to kind of be there despite whether they leave or whether they go. I kind of like that you guys delved into this a bit. I feel like there's a lot of times where people do go through this. Sometimes people don't look at this in like a positive way. This song does kind of look at it in a positive way and saying like they were there for what they got and what they needed, and I was there to give them what they needed, and it's okay. I guess the question for you is, what made you guys kind of want to sit down and write this out? I know a lot of the material that you guys write from comes from, you know, personal experiences.
Yeah.
What made you want to sit down and kind of take this and, you know, bring it out into the light?
For me, like when I write lyrics, it's just like, I'm very... like the other guys will see this. Oh, Alex disappeared. He's like, we can't find him. Oh, he's probably writing lyrics, because it kind of takes me a long time to write lyrics because I overthink it, but not, I guess not overthink it. I have to really analyze in myself, like mm-hmm. what is going on, and then like put it onto paper. So with this, yeah, exactly what you're saying is it's like, I was going through a relationship and, you know, how do I word this without like saying names? Okay, I won't say any names. What I think of Take What You Need is like, if I were in her situation, how would I want the other person to react? What would I want them to understand and take from it? I was thinking, well, I was there for her at a very low time, ended up falling in love, and there's only so much someone can give being so broken. And I've been there before many times. I've always wanted someone to be like, okay, well, I understand you're not able to give as much as the other person can give because you're so broken right now. And I just want to be the one that is understanding of that. It's kind of a selfless act. And sometimes people kind of need someone to understand. And I want to be that person that understood, even though it hurt like hell. But I understand. And this is life, you know? Yeah, you can only give so much sometimes. It's a fresh wound, but you know what? We're getting through it together, you guys.
No, I think...
yeah.
I appreciate you being honest about what this song is about. Because again, I feel like this is something that a lot of people kind of take negatively, in the sense of like, this person only gave me what they wanted to give. And this is, you know, they kind of get all down in the dumps about it. And people,
I mean, rightfully so.
Right.
It's just, if you take a step back and think about it and think about the whole grand scheme of everything, there's only so much someone can give.
It's kind of like a dark night of the soul kind of thing. This is what I kind of get from like the single itself. It's a positive outlook on something that could be otherwise a negative experience, but you're taking it in a positive way, which I fully condone. I feel like you can't take this stuff with you. You can, but like it doesn't do anybody any good to keep holding on to like the negative stuff.
Yeah, and in a way, this is kind of like the song and writing the lyrics, how the lyrics are, is kind of like a closure thing for me too, because you go through the stages of grief and stuff. At the end of it, at the end of the day, that's your outcome of it all. So, yeah.
I know we kind of talked about all of the music aspects and stuff. I know for you guys, a lot has gone on and a lot has kind of changed within the time span of years that you guys have been together, from being an unsigned band to a signed band, and then the passing of Cole. And with these changing aspects, and then now kind of getting back into the scene now with this new single, I see this as like a bright kind of fresh start on things.
Yes.
How did this affect you on a personal level as an artist? Because I know you have to kind of step back a bit and reflect on everything. And then it's like, how do I come back from all of this? You're getting hit with like a bunch of things at once, and then you still want to do music, but then it's like, there's this huge thing that has happened, and then you have to have that time to look at everything and then kind of find a way to get back to a positive space.
Yeah, it was very tough. I mean, it still is. It's just, I don't know how, like, when everything happened, it's just afterwards, we were just like, what do we do now? You know, we kind of had to give ourselves some time to process everything before just, you know, hitting it back. Yeah, I mean, after passing of Cole and everything, rest in peace, we had to like take a step back a little bit. Of course, there was questions of, do we keep going now? And do we, after all this, it hit us hard, but it also hit Aaron the hardest. Because, you know, that was the closest person to him. And yeah, how do we even process this whole situation? So we took a step back. Yeah, we were thinking, it's like, well, do we keep going? But then we were thinking at the same time, if we didn't keep going, I mean, this band is about overcoming things. Like, that's the whole entire thing. We have all these things that happen, and, you know, unfortunately, you know, one of our brothers is not here now, but I think he would want us to keep going. And we all know that, you know, we, despite the hard things that happen, you got to hit back, you got to clap back no matter what it is. And that's us doing that now. We're really like rearing to go. We just have to pick up and keep going, because that's what we have to do, you know? We're musicians, we're passionate about this. And also our message is we're trying to help people too. We got to keep going, you know? But it's hard, but we will keep going for sure.
You're right. Osatia is a lot of going through things and, you know, just taking things one step at a time, no matter what that process is. I think you guys deserve a lot of credit for, you know, going through that and then coming back with this single. Again, as selflessly as you guys do, it's talking about helping somebody else get through something, right? And I'm glad that you guys have stuck with this principle of, you know, emotionally kind of helping people with music, because we are, as I told many bands, we are going through a time where everybody is either, you know, kind of stuck or just going through something emotionally taxing, right? If you look at the world right now, it's kind of like in disarray. I feel like music is kind of helping us navigate through all those points in our lives right now. And exactly. Seeing bands like yourselves really helping to navigate that path, even though you guys did go through something personally tragic yourselves, really speaks credence to who you are as a band. We just talked about take what you need. And I know I felt like this was an extension of All In Time. I feel like I'm kind of poking and prodding, but that's what I do.
Poke and prod. I'm all here for it.
Is this single telling a bigger story for what's to come.
Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely the first chapter of what we are going to be releasing and everything. Just like All In Time, it's going to be carrying that emotional weight. All the next songs, every song is going to mean something, and that's how I try to make them. Every song is at least going to be for someone out there. Even with the producer that we worked with, yeah, it's definitely telling a bigger story for sure, because I mean, our next record is kind of going to be carrying this vibe tonally, instrumentally too. Could kind of rise that line of like a little bit of pop too.
Nice. And
tonally, it's definitely like showing a little bit more depth to our sound. In this next record, we're going to be showing some depth. I'm trying not to leak everything right now, but you know, if we do, we're here for it.
This is what this is all about. I definitely do feel like the pop influence is coming in strong, especially with Take What You Need, with the vocal tones and, you know, lyrically speaking, even though we're dealing with something pretty heavy, tonally, there's this very pop heavy kind of reference with the influxes of how that works, right? There's something very free about this, I feel like, even though, again, we're diving into very heavy themes, and I'm assuming, again, we're going to get into deeper territory as we get more singles along the way. But there, again, there is this very freeing kind of aspect to this single, as well as getting over a lot of stuff. But instrumentally and lyrically, it just feels like a lot of weight has just been lifted. So okay. I'm really excited to hear what the rest of the story is going to be along the way with the rest of the singles and what they have to bring to the table.
Oh yeah, the one we're working on right now though, it hits hard. But like, I mean, yeah, it's going to be really fun, and it's going to be, I think, our best work. I mean, every band says that as time goes, but I think we've really grown. Our songwriting ability and everything like that has really grown also. So it's all up from here, you know. I'm excited.
What do you want others to take from this new chapter that's coming up for you guys? Again, I know this is just the new single and we haven't really delved into any other singles as of yet, but what do you want people to take from this kind of new chapter that's kind of unfolding right now?
Take what they need. Woo! All right. Damn, that kind of just sums it right up. I didn't intend for that, but you know, each song's gonna have something to do with how poor my mental health is. And you know, every time that I write a song about my poor mental health, that is me trying to overcome it. So also going to have some, you know, tips and tricks of how to get out of that mental trouble. So literally take what you need from it.
There we have it, kids. Take what you need from the next couple of releases coming.
Yeah. Oh man, there's so many releases. By the way, I just wanted to put this out there. By the time this is out, our cover of Decode by Paramore will be out.
Nice. We have a lot of stuff to be looking forward to right now.
Yes. Yep.
Bringing back the scene hardcore.
Oh yeah.
So we're going to dive into some pretty fun questions. And I always like asking this question because I always like to hear the answer because it's always different for everybody, right?
All right.
If you guys could collaborate with any artist or any band on this, you know, since this is a new chapter, hearing this new sound that you guys are kind of bringing to the table, if you could collaborate with anybody, who would it be with and why?
I'm going to kind of speak for myself because I can't really speak for the rest of the band, but
it's okay.
God, there's so many people. There's so many good artists right now. I'm not going to say MGK, but hey, you know, I respect it. Fuck, who would it be? I would love to collaborate with Justin Bieber.
Really?
I'm a big pop guy. We have a lot of tie-ins with pop anywhere. I would go with Justin Bieber. I would go with, well, let me rein it back to kind of other bands. The band Camino. Oh, they're so good.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. Dayseeker.
Oh my God. Shout out to Dayseeker.
Their new song though.
It's so good.
Yeah, Rory's vocals are amazing.
Basically, shout out to Rory, by the way. He's amazing.
I would love to collaborate with a lot of vocalists that we could just do a cool duet with, you know?
Rory, if you're listening to this, please do a song with these guys because your voice is 10 out of 10.
I'm messaging you today on Instagram, Rory.
Just do it. That would be an amazing song altogether. If you guys could do it.
I think with our vocal types, we mesh really well.
I really do believe so as well. So
we're coming up with the idea right now, me and you, Sammy, and we're gonna make this happen. I'm gonna message him today and say, hey, you know what, my friend Sammy came up with this idea. On the next Osatia album, you gotta be on a song.
Exactly. Just go into the DMs.
I'm sliding in.
Just slide into the DMs.
Sliding in there.
Oh my God. So the next question that I always like to ask, touring shows are always the highlight of being a musician and particularly being, you know, a fan of just the scene in general. That's why we all kind of go out to, you know, shows and whatnot is to see you guys, people like you guys play because the environment is just amazing.
Yeah.
If you could tour with any artist or any band, you could pick an opener. This is your show. You could be with anybody right now.
Right now, strategically, in our position, we'd be the opener and we would love to play for Dayseeker. And we would also like to do, there's a band called Makari, Andy Sizek, which is, he's an amazing vocalist. Makari, we actually talked with them and we're friends. We talk. Who else? Are you saying like fantasy show?
You could do a fantasy show. Like, again, this is all you. If you could make this happen, who would you want to tour with?
Point North.
Oh,
so Point North. So we're good friends with John because John actually produced the song All in Time and the song Wasting My Life on the All in Time EP. He actually produced the album. So we went into the studio with him a little bit and he's a cool guy. We'd love to go on tour with them. Plus their live stuff is just awesome. So
I've seen videos of them playing and it's just an amazing experience. Like the energy that they have is just awesome. If you guys could actually get a show with them, that would be insane.
That'd be dope. That'd be real dope. I gotta get a hold of John again.
You're friends. So again, slide into those DMs, see what you can do.
All we gotta do, you know, send an email. That's all you can do these days.
So again, going into doing shows, I always like this question too because I never know like what answer I'm gonna get with this one, because for the last couple of episodes I've gotten some pretty funny answers with this. But what's the best venue that you've played at and what's the worst venue you've played at?
Oh man, I'm gonna get in trouble, but anyways, I'd say the worst one. Oh man, okay, I'm not going to say where it is, but I'm just going to tell you about the venue.
That's fine.
It's actually the best and worst. It's the best because, for one, it's a roller skating rink.
Oh, nice.
Which, before the show, we were ripping it hard on the rink. But during the show, the sound, because it's just like the acoustics in a roller skating rink. It's like a gym. In high school. But, and it's like, sound does not do well in there. So I'd say that's like, oh man, I loved it And then I hated hearing myself playing that. But let's see. You said the best and worst, though?
Yeah, you could do a best one, and you could do a worst venue that you've ever played at.
Worst venue. The best one, I'd say, was there's one in Nebraska. Any of my band members listening to this, you know my memories about Nebraska. Omaha, Nebraska. Yeah, that was a really good show. We actually opened up for like there were a local band, but like they're huge in Omaha. I forgot their name. We opened for them. There's so many people there, and it was just an all around just great experience. And yeah, the stage is great. Also, the Showbox at the Market, we played with Andrew WK. That was an experience because for one, you can drink on stage, which is amazing. Not anymore because I'm sober now, but yeah. Yeah. So that's definitely the best. And I'd say the worst sounding venue is definitely in a roller skating rink.
I'll remember that next time I ever go to a show. Great place to have fun at, but never to go to a show at.
For sure.
What do you feel? And of course, you know, that's always up to interpretation, but what do you feel makes a great artist or a great musician?
One that's real. One that doesn't have like this sense about them where it's like all about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
A good artist is a selfless one. One that, you know, wants to really help. I mean, there's no better way to help someone but through art. It hits hard. So basically a selfless one and one that wants to help an artist that's passionate about what they do, you know?
Oh, I definitely agree because I feel like, and this is not like a put down to the scene at all. I feel like there's a lot of bands out there that try to like do this one upping thing where it's like,
oh my God.
Well, you know, like if you do something better than me, then I have to top you tenfold thing. And it's like,
I'm salty that you got that tour. I'm so salty.
Like, exactly. We're already in this position in the scene where I'm just going to use the pop scene, for example, where, you know, it's easy, somewhat easy to rank up somewhat. And we need to kind of have this, I always kind of say this sort of sense of solidarity where we kind of have to help each other out in some way.
Oh yeah.
And this kind of like one upping thing or this thing where I need to be jealous of you and all of your wins and all of your gains, it doesn't really work out in the end. I feel like it's just a thing that I always see constantly on social media, and it's just always an eye roll for me. But like I feel like we will get to a point where maybe that will stop, but we'll see what happens.
It's definitely annoying because like if the artist carries that kind of mindset, then that kind of translates down to the fans too. They kind of makes like a whole, there's different gangs of fan bases. Music's supposed to bring people together, not put them in boxes, you know?
Right, exactly. I feel like once we kind of get past that and we learn that we work better together in numbers, things will start to look a little bit better.
Oh, yeah.
If you could change anything about the music industry, what would that be?
Dang. About the industry in a whole? That's a tough one. I feel like Elon Musk right now. You know how he takes like forever to answer questions.
No, you're fine.
Let's see. Change about the music industry. Right off of what you're saying is like, it's very, if you're in the music industry, kind of band together more. I mean, it's kind of not about the accolades you have, you know? It's like, okay, yeah, you've done all this and this and this, but, you know, there still could be a band that's, you know, really good that doesn't have those particular accolades, but that doesn't mean you have to cool guy them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a lot of cool guy in, which I get, but at the same time, I don't know, maybe me being at the spot that I'm at, Osage is not that big, but I just wouldn't cool guy people. I get people are busy. That's a different thing. but just being like, nah, not going to talk to this artist because, you know, his last song didn't get enough streams or whatever, you know?
No, I agree that you can have healthy competition and say, like, I like what this band is doing, or maybe I don't like this genre or whatever. You could still, there's a healthy way of doing things without bad mouthing people, or, you know, just as you said, like the Joe Cool, or like, you know, hey, I'm not going to talk to you because you're not that popular or whatever. I do agree with you on that. That's kind of like why I started this project, because I do feel that there are a lot of bands like yourself and many others that are equally as talented that don't get that representation that I feel that they deserve. You know, I write for Outburn magazine, and I write for Spill, which there's a lot of bands that are top notch and they are for a reason, but Into the Void is a very intimate project in and of itself to showcase those other bands that are not getting that recognition. I think you hit the nail on the head where it's like, we need to kind of have that kind of unified presence. Whether you're a signed band or you're an unsigned band, you can still be just as good.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I really do try to do my best when it comes to, you know, bring out talent that nobody's really heard of. And if you have, like, it's probably like maybe people that have only grounded about maybe a few hundred or, you know, 1,000 listens at most. But like, if I could do my part in exposing either an artist or a band that is not that popular that maybe people can get into, then, like, you know, I've done my job in helping keep the scene alive to some extent.
Oh, yeah. We are thankful for people like you. Got to keep it alive.
You know, that's what the scene is all about. And I feel like people kind of lose that aspect of what the scene is in terms of, like, we always focus on the bigger bands that are like signed, and that's all well and good, but like the scene was started for a reason.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I kind of always ask this question as well in terms of singles versus albums. And I know we're kind of dating ourselves now because we were like 90s kids back in the day where you could just put on an album. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You could just enjoy it without wondering about like, when's the next single coming out or whatever.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I could just pop in the CD and just be like, you know what? I can listen to this 100 times.
Right. And we have so much thrown at us at times. It feels like we have to play catch up. I know, like, every Friday for me as a journalist, there's a lot of stuff that gets released on a Friday. I have to play catch up. Otherwise, I feel like I'm missing something. And it's kind of sad because I want to kind of go back to a time where it's like I could pick up an album or I could pick up a CD and I could just carefree kind of listen to it and not be bothered with all the stuff that's coming at me.
Yeah.
Do you feel the way we digest music nowadays has changed or altered how we take it in somewhat? And
oh, yes. How will the public consumes music now, if you're not constantly making music, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so, I mean, back in the day, an artist can release an album and you can have that CD and it could be 2-3 years until the next album comes. But now it's like people are waiting for that next single. They drop this single. When's their next one? And it's always got to be, okay, well, we can't wait more than a month because you know what? Our stuff is going to dive down. All of our interest is going to, you know, go down. So like it's very, nowadays, the attention span of the general public in consuming music is very thin. So you got to keep releasing. It's definitely changed a lot. Even like from when in the MySpace days, you know how you had like MySpace music? It's just changed a lot. And if you're not constantly releasing, then you are toast. You know, it keeps us on our toes though. That's
no,
for sure.
I definitely agree. Even for me as a journalist, it's like the hit ups like that I get from bands on either a weekly or daily basis, it does keep you on your toes for like what's out there and the potential of talent that is just growing on a weekly or even monthly basis is just amazing. And I feel like it's a blessing and it's kind of like a curse to have all the tools kind of like in front of you to do what you want to do. But at the same time, again, like I said, you just have so much thrown at you. I feel it for you guys in a sense, because it's like, there's only so much one can take in at once. And you guys are always kind of having to battle it out in a sense for that attention. It's hard to be a musician.
And with that being said, it's like the pandemic happened right after we dropped All In Time, which was, I mean, this is a story for all bands going through the pandemic, like especially budding bands like us. We just dropped All In Time Deluxe and we were planning on touring the hell out of that album, but the pandemic happened and that all got nipped in the butt. So we kind of had to like, this is our restart now because things are kind of opening up a little bit. If you're a budding band and that gets snipped by the pandemic, you can only release music. You can't go out and tour with that. So it's just like staying relevant and fighting to stay relevant through a pandemic. That's a real fight. That's for sure.
Definitely. And again, you brought up a very good point. Obviously, just because, you know, the pandemic is, I'm not going to say that it's no longer mentioned in the news, but it's like, it's still a very big thing, especially now with touring and with musicians. It's still a big thing, but like, going back to when the pandemic was really hitting hard, especially in the music scene, you couldn't go touring, right? And you could not do things the way a traditional band was meant to do things as far as like recording in the same space. Now that we're kind of diving back into more of sort of like a normalcy, we have disappearing touring venue spots. Like a lot of prevalent places that used to be around are no longer here because we lost a lot of them. The magical idea of streaming concerts came around during the pandemic. And it was like, well, if bands can do this now, why do I have to go out? It's a double-edged sword for you guys.
For sure. Streaming's tight and all, but does not come close to you. I mean, you do what you gotta do, you know, for people that can only stay inside and like watch it from there, and that's dope, man. Nothing beats the real thing. That's what sucks for most of these venues that kind of had to die out, because like, how are we supposed to stay alive during this time? So it is very sad.
I'm glad that it's returning to some type of normalcy, because we do need you guys to kind of come back out there and start doing live shows. Because I was having a conversation with another band earlier. You can listen to a record in your headphones or on some speakers or whatever, and you could say, oh man, this is a really tight single. This is a really great record. Yeah. But it doesn't beat going out, you know, into the open and hearing it on stage. And, you know, hearing that authentic live experience that you'll probably only get like once in your lifetime.
Yeah, and it's almost like a high.
And no live experience is the same. I don't care what anybody says. Every band's performance is not always going to be the same.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm glad that we're kind of stepping back into some normalcy if bands are willing to do like the right thing as far as precautions and whatnot. Really? COVID is still a big thing, unfortunately, but I'm glad that things are kind of going back to some normalcy for you guys.
Thank God, finally.
Right. What is the best advice that you've ever gotten as an artist? And again, like I'm asking you this because you guys have kind of sort of been, I don't want to say been through it all. I mean, you guys, you started very early in the scene. You are where you're at now. You went from being unsigned and then you went to being signed. You kind of have been through it all in such a short period of time. And, you know, you kind of got to play that playing field. And I think there's some good things that you can share with a lot of bands that haven't quite gone through that journey yet. Again, with the emotional standpoints to speak to what you guys have gone through within that journey. There's a lot to be shared with that.
Yeah. Timing is everything, for sure. When to release things, how to release them, knowing how much time in between. Because we know that we know this from experience. If you take enough time off of releasing, you're going to have to start all over again. So in this day and age and everything like that, being from a band that's had to start over a few times, know the right timing and just be persistent. Keep trekking along no matter what. I'd say that's the best advice I could give.
For you guys, I know you just said that Take What You Need is part of a bigger story. I'm not going to poke and prod too much because, like you said, you kind of given us what we need. But what is next for you guys this year? Because I know, like, again, like I said, you guys have given us this single and, you know, this cover that's coming up, this Paramore cover that's coming up to keep us satiated for a little bit until.
Oh, exactly.
Till you give us some more new material, so to speak. What's next for you guys in the long run?
A new album, pretty much. Yeah, definitely a new album. Full length album is in the works. I mean, with how music is consumed these days, it's just going to be basically, I'm just giving it all away. I don't care. Basically, it's just going to be a long string of singles, and then it's going to be compiled into an album. That's just pretty much like the strategy. So it's like the best way to go about it is release single after single after single so it can get playlisted and so that it can do the best it can. And then at the end of it, there's going to be 3-4 songs that haven't been heard. Throw them all in. We got an album. That's how music is consumed in 2022. That's what's next.
See, guys, this is why you come to Into the Void. You get all the answers.
When Alex gets interviewed, he tells everything, no matter what.
You poke and prod enough, you get the answers that you need, kids.
And I'm very truthful about anything. So you can do whatever you want with that, you know? Also, I wanted to say other things that are coming up. Decode, that will be out April 8th. So by the time people see this, I'm sure it'll be already out. But yes, Paramore, Decode, that Twilight song, you know?
So that Twilight song.
I mean, I love that song. Like, I mean, aside from Twilight, I mean, back in the day, I watched all the Twilight. It was with a girlfriend, okay?
Who didn't watch Twilight? You know, right? Let's be real here.
And if you're lying that you didn't see Twilight, that's
or read the books, then you're just probably lying to yourself on that one.
Yeah, you know? I mean, everybody's got a team. They got Team Edward or Team Jacob, you know what I'm saying? But you know what? We're all here for it.
Which team were you, though?
Oh, dang. Well, the girlfriend I was with at the time, she was Team Jacob. with the way I look, I mean, I'm all for it because, you know, on brand. But yeah, I guess I'd be Team, man. I don't know. I can't really remember the movies that much, but I would say I can't go with the sparkles. Yeah. I'm going Team Jacob for sure.
That's where it's at, dude. That's where it's at. 100%.
What is that thing that they were talking about? It's like, once you find a lover, you're marked. What is that? What is that they call it?
Oh my God. It's been a hot minute since I've dove into the Twilight realm.
Yeah, but they said something on that. And anyways.
Oh my goodness. God, those were, again, this was like back in the day when it was like really popular.
Yup.
Oh my God.
But yeah, Decode's coming out. You guys will be able to catch us at So What Fest. We'll be at the We Are Triumphant tent playing an acoustic set, and we'll be playing all 3 days. And so if anybody wants to say hi to me in there and there, we'll be there. Yeah, album, planning tours, singles, that's all the stuff that's coming up for us. So yeah.
I want to thank you for joining me on this next episode of Into the Void. It's been a pleasure having you here to talk about the new single, the album before this, and now we know that a new album is coming.
You know exactly how it's going to be released now, too.
Exactly. Right? We got all the answers here on this one podcast. And if you're not listening, then you need to listen because you have all the answers right here. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe, guys. You can listen on, YouTube. You can listen on Podbean. You can listen even on my website. So take care, guys, and I will see you guys within the next couple of weeks for a brand new episode. Take care. Peace.
Take care.